On the 27th of this month, we're going to have a community service. And that's, we're going to invite other churches in. Brother Steve Gallimore will be preaching that night for us. Our worship team will be leading the worship, but it starts at 6:30. And it's something that we're trying to get started in Henry County, where the churches worship together. And so I really would invite you to come and be a part of that. And so this is the first service that we're doing this, and we're hoping to do it every month at different places and different people preaching. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You believe that? The word believe is more than mental assent. It's more than agreeing with. It means to agree mentally and to follow, to be obedient. And so if you're not saved this morning, if you're not absolutely, positively sure, John says that you should know. If you don't know that you know that you know that you know, you die today, you're going to go to heaven. You need to get saved. And I just feel like now is the time. And I don't feel like bowing my head or closing my eyes. Because if you don't have the courage to say in front of a church that loves Jesus, that loves to love you, love Jesus, if you don't have that kind of courage, you're not going to make it anyway. If you deny the Father, he's going to deny you. I just want you, if you're not saved or if you're not following too closely right now and you say, I just need to make a recommittal, would you just stand with me? Thank you, Jason. We appreciate that. Amen, brother. Did you see how fast he jumped up? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Brother, would you just come on up here for a second? Hallelujah. The Bible says the heavens rejoice when one person gets saved. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to thank Richard Smith, Courtney Walker, and Ron Nelson. On Thursday, they met out here together with their lawnmowers, and nobody calls them, nobody asks them. They coordinate this stuff together, And they've been doing this. Ron's been doing it for years. And Ron has difficulty getting on the mower. And these two other brothers have helped him in trying to come out and support him so he can continue to do what he believes God has called him to do. And Amen. Just does something to you. Just does something. Amen. I want to talk to you today about 2023 Mission Possible. 2023 mission possible. In 1 Peter is where we're speaking. And I'm diverging a bit. And so just be patient with me because I'm just trying to follow the Lord. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, we're just going to read four verses. He says, "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable. It's because of conscience towards God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when we are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Jesus, we come before you today, recognizing, Lord, the Spirit of God is moving in this place, Lord. Father, I pray, God, that you continue to move, continue to deal with every heart. I pray the Spirit of God would just whisper, Lord, to every person, Lord, what they need to hear today, God. I pray that our hearts, Lord, would be just like our brothers, that we would attune it to your word and attune it to the Spirit of God so that we would be the disciples that you have called us to be. Lord, those that are sent out, those that do the will of God, not just profess something, not just say it, Lord, not be religious, but Lord, let us be doers of the word, Father. Let us be those, Lord, that are not religious, but have fallen in love with you and will follow you all the days of our life. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm taking a portion of Scripture and I'm basically taking a thought and jumping. And so he is telling us to be submissive. And he is using masters and servants and things like this. A better translation probably today would be bosses, those that are over you. And he is saying that we should submit to them, whether they're good and gentle or whether they're harsh. Has anyone ever worked for a harsh boss? Yeah, not quite as easy, is it? But yet we have been given a word from the Lord that even those that are difficult, we are still supposed to submit to them. So what does the word submit mean? Now in chapter 3, we're going to talk about wives submitting to their husbands. And I had a man last week say, "I can't wait for you to get to that. When are you going to get to that scripture?" Well, I promise you ladies, you'll want to hear this sermon. When I talk about submission, I promise you, you'll want to hear it. Husbands, you need to hear it. So submission means to place oneself under someone. It's to under their authority. I am submitting to your authority. So who are we really to live in submission to? Jesus, right? It's him that we live in submission to. It's him that does the great things in our life as we are obedient. See, I think religion leaves this out. They don't teach you that salvation is really all about submitting to the authority of Christ. We argue with Jesus all the time. I'm not doing that. Get thee behind me, Satan. I wonder how many times the Holy Ghost has been told to get behind somebody. He must find that comical. We submit, number one, to the call of salvation, like our brother did today, felt it in his heart. He submitted to that. But the second thing is the call of obedience. We submit to the call of obedience. May I draw your attention to one or two words in this last verse that we read, verse 21. "For to this you were called, That just got me this week. You see, most of you would point to me and say, well, you are called and you are right. You know, I had a preacher tell me one time, if you can do anything other than pastor, do it. But if you can't do anything else, then you need a pastor. You need to feel that you understand what I'm saying? It's got to be that much, Lord. Nothing else is going to make me happy but to follow you and do this that you've called me to do. But who is Peter writing to? He's not writing to preachers. He's writing to you. You are called of God. I believe that we are on the edge of seeing something powerful and great in our church. I really do. I feel it. I mean, it's just like the Lord is just birthing this in me. And we have got to leave some of the old concepts of ministry. The old concept that says the pastor does it and we get to come and enjoy it. That has never been God. That's man all the way through. You are called, and you're called to do something. And glory to God, if you come to church and you receive, praise the Lord, that's a blessing. But you don't just come to church to receive. You come to church to give. You come to church to minister. And God may call you not into the church, but into the workforce. God may say, I need a light at that hospital, or I need a light in the school system. I need a light over here. And God places you. Why? Because you are called. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who is reconciled to us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So we submit to salvation, and then we submit to being an ambassador for Christ. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, he says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. The rampart is the wall or an embankment. When I was studying this in my private time this morning even, these words, I highlighted them because they just sort of jumped out at me. And I wish, you know, I feel a bit like a drill sergeant today. I'd like to just get in your face and just say, will you stand on your watch? It's time that we quit looking to someone else to do it. And Habakkuk said, you stand on your watch. Stand on your wall. I mean, we need a determination in our soul that says, not on my watch. Watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Woo-wee. I don't like to be corrected, do you? He says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. If you got a pencil and if you got paper, take it out and get ready to write not what Eric says, but what the Spirit is fixing to tell you. You hear me? I'm speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Habakkuk said, write it down. So I'm telling you by the authority of the Lord today, you need to write it down. Because I think God is fixing to tell you some things. In 2008, Pastor Art tapped us on the shoulder. We went to Hope Harbor in Murray for 40 years. And he tapped Treve and I and a couple other couples. And he said, would you go down to Paris and start a church? And we said we will. And about three and a half years in, the Lord says, this is not your church. And so I left, we left. And he did something different, went to video stream, and it basically died. And I was in church one day, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and he says, there's a church in your loins. Now, I promise you, I don't use that word. I do not go around talking about my loins. And I knew that I had heard the voice of God. I knew he was saying he's going to birth a church out of me. And so we didn't know where. We didn't know. We'd put our house up for sale. We were looking for a lot of things. And one day, Pastor Art called me and he said, would you like to go back to Paris and start that church and just start an autonomous church there? And I said, no, the Lord told me that wasn't my church. And he said, well, you better pray again. So we did. And we both felt that that's what God had told us to do. And so God began to tell me what he wanted in this church. And I argued a bit with God because I looked up some statistics in Paris, Henry County. I found out there was like 34,000 people in Henry County, about 9,600 in the city of Paris. And there was 200 churches at that point. And I said, God, why do they need 201? Why do they need another church? You know, he never answered me. I felt like he's saying, don't be foolish. Just do what I said. So we did. We submitted to the Lord. And I asked the Lord, well, then what's our mission? He spoke to me and he said, the mission is to help transform people into fully devoted believers of the Lord Jesus. I believe that's why we got the name Bridge. Because I believe that we are to help bridge people from religion to relationship. And then the Lord gave me this through Eugene Witt in Acts 26:18. I think it's the calling of all churches. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That is the calling, that is the mission of the church, brothers, sisters. And we are called to do those things. The Lord told me at the same time, the mission, or the vision to complete the mission, he was going to give me a few things. When you've been going for several years in any kind of nonprofit, all nonprofits have a mission statement. And the church is a nonprofit organization. It's an organization of wanting to do something, right? Wanting to accomplish something. It's not about making money. Well, some churches need to hear that. So I was asking him, well, you know, what do you want us to do? And that's what he told me. After you've been going for a little while, there's a phrase called mission drifting. That if you're not careful, you can drift away from the mission that God gave you. That is why when I saw this portion of Scripture, I thought, we need to reestablish why we're here. You get it? So that we don't drift from what he called us to do. Because God never changes his mind. He's perfect. Why would he ever change his mind? He's perfect. The judgments of the Lord are right. Altogether. Absolutely. All the time. He never makes a mistake. So the Lord gave us some building blocks or the vision. And they were so powerful in me. The Lord, first thing he said is, I want this church to be built on prayer. That seems so obvious, doesn't it? And yet, how few churches pray? How few believers know what a diligent prayer life is about? I said yesterday to the men, prayer is communication, and communication is always two ways. See, I'm pretty good at speaking, but I'm not so good at listening. Confession of the soul does you good, right? But in prayer, I don't need you to speak, I need to listen. And so when God says that He wants this church to be a church of prayer, my house will be called the house of prayer, not a house of preaching, not a house of worship. Are those things important? Absolutely. But He didn't say that. He said, let my house be called the house of prayer, and you have turned it into a den of thieves. I'm telling you, folks, we're still diverting from the truth that God wants us to be. Not necessarily us. I'm talking about the kingdom. We're making church about helping people. We're making church about doing this or doing that. It is a house of prayer. And prayer is two things. Not only giving a laundry list, but it's listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. 2 Chronicles 7:14, He says, and my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Oh, Jesus. The earth is a mess. Romans 1 says the earth is groaning. You hear me? The earth is groaning under the amount of sin and degradation. If my people are called by my name, will just humble themselves. You don't have the answers. If you'll humble yourself and pray and seek my face, turn from your wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal your land. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God would heal Henry County? What if He healed Tennessee? What if He healed the United States of America? How is He going to do that? When we do our part. When we pray. Hallelujah. He also said to me, and I'm going to move sort of quickly through these. He says, I want you to practice my presence. I've never heard that phrase before. Since then, I think there's been a book or two written about that. But I had never heard that. What do you mean, God? Practice my presence. You let me dwell in the church. Church ain't about having a good worship team. I love good music. And we've got good music. Got talented people. But it ain't about that. It is about inviting the presence of God in every service. Let me just say this. I'll say it like Moses said it. If you're not here, I don't want to be either. If you don't go with us, then I'm not going. God, if you're not going to be in that church with me, I don't want to be in that church. Church is about experiencing His presence, and then don't leave it here. For goodness sake, take it to your home. Take it to your work. Take it wherever you go. You take the presence of God. What if you walked in work tomorrow full of the Holy Ghost? Someone said, I've got a problem. You say, oh, glory to God, I got the answer. Let me pray for you. They'll back off of you like, whoa, you a little scary, big boy. I said the other day, I know I scare some of you. And one guy met me at the door and he said, you don't scare me. Psalms 22 says, but you are holy. That inhabits the praise of your people. Hebrews 4:16, let us then come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you thankful that God calls His throne a throne of grace, a throne of favor? He says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. The third thing He told me is to preach the word. Don't preach what you think, Eric. You know, preachers tend to have strong opinions. And I can tell you a few things about opinions. but it wouldn't be good for the pulpit. You see, my opinion never healed anybody. My opinion never saved anybody. My opinion never gave you the answers to what you need to know. But His Word does. He said, Eric, preach the Word. Don't add to it and don't take away from it. I remember one time I was preaching Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God. You'll see, speak to the mountain, you'll see it move. And I remember praying about this, and I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I need to tell them when that don't work. And boy, I got smacked. He said, don't give my people an excuse not to believe. Woo! Strong correction. You know what I did? I repent, Jesus. Mark those out. It does work. It does work. See, God says, I watch over my word to perform it. I had a bit of a vision one day when I was preaching, and it was the Lord speaking to an angel. And He said to this, He said, if they keep confessing my word, you must fulfill it for them. Ooh, you get that? Let me say something and it may strike you in the face. God's obligated. Because He's not a liar. And if God says He watches over His word to perform it, He's obligated to do what He said He would do. So preach the word, Eric. Preach the word. 2 Timothy, you know this verse. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You know what that means? It's God breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. He told Timothy, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. The fourth thing is, it sounds like the same thing, but he told me to proclaim. I said, what do you mean by that? You know, I got sort of preachy. I wanted all these to start with P. So, what do you mean? He said, don't just preach the word in the church. Proclaim the word wherever you go. This is the word that God gave us starting this church. It took us 10 years to get an outreach program going. And since we did that, there was a shift in our church. Why? Because we're doing what He says. God honors the obedience of man. You know, sometimes I argue with Him and I'll say, we have not seen any of the people that we witness to, the people that we take groceries to. We haven't seen them. God says, you go after them and I'll send you the others. God told Tommy Barnett that. He says, you go after the people that the church don't want and I'll send you the people that every church wants. I can't figure it out. I don't have to figure it out. All I know is He says, evangelism is important to the house of God. You proclaim the word. We're doing that every other month. Big deal. Proclaiming the word should happen every day from the house of God. The last thing He told me, the fifth point, He says, perform. I said, what do you mean? He said, serve. Serve the kingdom. Serve the body of Christ. Romans 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What are we talking about today? We're talking about submission. We're talking about placing ourselves under the authority of God and whomever He places above us to honor those people, to be obedient. Philippians 2, verses 4 through 7, let each of you look not only after his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of Him. Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. What should we be doing? Seeking and saving those who are lost. He came to serve. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, and there are a lot of people that want the recognition, He said, if you want to be great, become the least. The church should have an inverted organizational chart. I just lost a bunch of you, I know. But an organizational chart is how things happen in business. It starts with the director or the CEO, and it goes down to the CFO and these folks here, and it goes down to the people that manage, and it goes down eventually to the hourly people, those that are actually doing the work that makes the money for the business. Well, you just flip that over on its ear, and you have the kingdom. You got whoever is in leadership down here serving those that God has called to come alongside of Him, serving those that are servants, serving the body of Christ, serving the world. You get it? Folks, the church should never lose our compassion in helping people. It's not about hoarding. It's about helping. Ooh, that was good. So write that down. That was good. I need to include that somewhere. The third thing I want to talk to you about is how do we accomplish the mission and the vision? It's about every person doing their part. It's not about one man doing everything. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13, the Lord teaches us that He put offices in the kingdom, in the church. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now listen, for the equipping of the saints, that's you, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God has placed offices in the church. And the church has said, well, we don't believe that. All we believe in is pastors. Am I right? I'm right. Did God put the office of the pastor in the church? Absolutely. Did God put the office of teachers? You know, when I was a Sunday school teacher, it took me a long time to figure this out. But when I was a Sunday school teacher, I pastored my Sunday school class. I noticed one day that they all sat around me at church. My Sunday school class would Treva and I would sit here, and they would just start to circle us. Now, I wasn't the pastor of the church. Pastor Art was the pastor. But I was an underneath pastor. Does that make sense? And so I began to pastor these 20. And then he pastored the whole bunch. We have teachers that instruct people. Thank God for teachers. So let's talk about this for just a second. First of all, he says there's our apostles. Apostles are the sent out ones. Now, if you'll take your left hand and you'll look at your thumb, that's an apostle. Apostle is the only office that touches every other ministry. Now, I know you well enough. Some of you are trying to take that pinky and make it touch all those fingers. No, you can't do it. Only the apostle, because he governs. I believe that as an Assembly of God church, the apostle is the ministry in Tennessee, Pastor Terry, that oversees us, sends us out. He equipped us to become a church. There are also other apostles. Here's what the Lord has showed me. The offices are layering anointings. And so we have been trying to work with two pastors and teachers. And if what's fixing to happen happens, we can't do it. If we have a revival of the sorts that I think that we're fixing to have, pastors and teachers can't do it. We need the other three to be moving in our church. We need the apostle. We need the prophet. He guides. He guides. He tells you that they can be pretty focused. The prophet, there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's the only one that I wrote a verse for. He says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort. Prophets should build up the body of Christ, not clean them. You see, I believe this. If there's any instruction that needs to go that's going to sort of shear the sheep, it ought to be done by the pastor, because the pastor loves them. I had somebody come to me one time and have a calling on their life, and they said, I want to preach in your church. And I said, really, why? And she said, because God gave me a sermon, I'm going to lay them out. I said, well, you ain't preaching in my church, because I don't believe that's of God. I don't believe that's what God does. I don't believe God wants to lay you out. I believe God wants to build you up. Sometimes in our youth and our arrogance, we can mess up, right? So they never preached here. Still telling me I missed God. And maybe I did. Who knows? So we have the apostle, we have the prophet, we have evangelists. You know, for years we thought evangelist was the guy we brought in one time a year to have a revival. Nonsense. We don't need an evangelist one time a year. We need evangelists all the time. And so God began to raise up evangelists in this body. People that when we call street outreach, they get crazy. You don't see them get excited any other time of the year until street outreach, and it's like they put crazy on their face. It's like they live for that moment. Oh, we can go out and witness. Yeah, you could have any time. I mean, that's a God-calling evangelist. Now, he tells Timothy later on, Pastor Timothy, he said, Pastor Timothy, you need to do the work of an evangelist. You see, I do the work of an evangelist sometimes. I even prophesy sometimes. But I'm not a prophet. God hadn't called me to be a prophet. But I find myself moving and teaching and doing all these other things. But we need help. God never, never, never wanted one man to carry it all. He says, as every person does their part, there would be a building up. So I just needed to come to you today and declare to you, this is where we're going. I believe you got to know your history before you can know your future. So that's why I started with the building blocks that God has given us. But I want you to know that I believe there's a mass of people getting ready to come into this church. And I need pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles to keep us going so that we don't drift from our mission. We accomplish our mission. Evangelists gather. That's sort of the middle finger. I don't want to hold it up by itself. The fourth thing is the pastor. You see which finger that is? It's got a ring on it. It's the only one. It's got a ring on it. Because the pastor's married to the church. The pastor loves his sheep better than anybody, any of the other ministries. Pastor grieves when you grieve. Teacher doesn't do that. The teacher says, well, they had the information. I gave it to them. They just didn't do what I said. The pastor cries when you cry. And rejoices when you rejoice, because they're married to you. And if a pastor doesn't do that, you got the wrong man in there. Pastor loves his sheep. He lays his life down for the sheep. The fifth thing is the teacher. The teacher grounds. Boy, don't we need teacher in the body of Christ. We need people to come alongside and say, your thinking is wrong. You've got way too much humanity in your thoughts. We need to divorce that because that's the world. You see, today, I can honestly say this today, anything you hear on the news, you should say, oh, I better do opposite of that. It ain't nothing but garbage. They are pushing a philosophy. They are pushing this worldly thinking. And if we're not cautious, because we're inundated with this, we will begin to think like they think. And God says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. I don't want you thinking like the world thinks. Matter of fact, I can never teach the world the correct way of thinking if I don't have a people that's thinking right. That's another good one. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 12, those were offices that we talked about, but the Romans chapter 12 talks about gifts of administration, leadership, giving, help, serving. You may not be called to an office, but I promise you, you're called. You know, this week, Treva and I have talked some, and we have both been sort of overwhelmed with Mandy Hobson, who is using her gift of administration to bless this church. It's in such perfection and such diligence, and she'll be embarrassed that I even said her name, but I just felt like you need to know. There, you know, today Jonathan Fanning was not with us because he's not feeling well. And I sent him a text and I said, I'm not sure I can do this without you. You've been by my side. Are you getting this? I'm not fluffing. I don't blow smoke up nobody. I'm just not that person. My wife wishes I'd blow a little smoke once in a while. I need you. What would this church be without a coffee bar? What would this sleeping? Thanks a lot, brother. I do everything but stand on my head to keep you guys awake. What would we do without the person that opens the door and says, God bless you? You see, the body of Christ is elevating one and overlooking 99. And I'm telling you, the person that cleans the toilet is just as important. Thank God for every person that serves, every person that helps, every person that gives leadership. Can you imagine how long it would have taken me to pray for the people that came forward today? But the Word of God says, call for the elders of the church. Not just the pastor. Anoint with oil. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Paul sent Timothy a letter, Pastor Timothy, right? Pastor Timothy, he said, stir up the gift that's in you. The gift that was first in your grandma and then in your mama. I love that. See, I know that I'm walking under some of the anointing of my in-laws. Many of you have told me that she's the best pastor's wife you've ever seen, bar none. Well, you should have met her mama. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, the gift that was in mama got passed down to daughter. Timothy, stir it up. You ever had a bonfire and it starts going out and you just take a stick and start poking it? Jesus is saying, poke them, Eric, poke them. So I come today to poke you. To stir that gift up. It's time you quit setting your butt on the pew. Can I get any bolder? Time we go to work. The spirit of complacency is what drove David to adultery and murder. I don't care how much you loved Jesus 40 years ago. What are you doing today? It is common with all people to grow complacent if you're not growing. Does that register with you? I can't scream much more. So remember, I told you to get pencil and paper. Because I think the Lord is speaking to you. And Habakkuk said, write it down. And I want you to make a note in your Bible. Make a note somewhere. Then on the 16th day of April, 2023, I feel God is calling me to do this. What does God want you to do? Again, I will say, not all of things are done in the church. Many are done in the community. I am thankful for my brother Chris, who's got a gifting of leadership on his life. And he's in our school system, teaching our little kids. And I was only there one time with him, and he walks out. And it's like the King of Kings just walked out. Hey, Mr. Chris. You could tell there was a love relationship there. He loves those kids. He is a pastor. Do you know where I learned to pastor? I didn't go to Bible college. I know that shocks you. I went to work at Senior Citizens. And I pastored the senior citizens. I know I'm the only one in the state of Kentucky that when I would hear somebody saying they're sick, I would go say, can I pray for you? Senior citizen directors don't do that. But this one did. Guy's talking about having cancer, and I'd come out of my office. What? What did I hear? He said, yeah, I got cancer. I said, can I lay my hands on you and pray? He said, I'm Catholic. I said, well, glory to God, I'm Christian. I don't see any difference. God will heal a Catholic as well as heal a Christian or a Protestant, whatever you want to call them. You know, when I was running the senior citizen director, every once in a while, people get mad at me. I couldn't believe it. And I go to their house. And I had board members saying, what are you doing that for? Don't chase after them people. But there was a shepherd's heart in me. I'd go to their house and I'd say, if I've hurt your feelings, I'm sorry. Never meant to do that. I love you and I want you to be part of us. You know what they do? They come back. Come back. You know, church is a family. I don't know about your family, but I had three boys and we fought. We got mad at each other and spouted off sometimes. But at the end of the day, we love each other. We'd forgive each other. I promise you, if you come to Bridge of Hope, you're going to get your feelings hurt. Yeah, you will. I promise you. It's scriptural. Gotcha. Yeah. In this world, you're going to have tribulations. Many are the offenses. Don't give the devil an opportunity to get you offended. If you get offended, you say, get thee behind me, Satan. That's a good time to do it. You know, you might get offended at Treva. And you're probably going to get offended with me if you stay around any time at all. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth because I love you. And some people have told me, that ain't none of your business. Well, you are. You my business. Because God places, you hear me? You don't go to the church that you like. God places members in particular. You get that? You ain't here because you like the music or you like the way I preach. I couldn't have paid you to do that. You may have to finish this sermon now. You are here because God puts you here. You see, God knew we needed Janice Gallimore. She didn't know for sure if she wanted to be here. She had never been to a church like this. There's probably lots of you that says, I ain't never been to a church like this. Brother David, no, he just dropped his head like, oh, dear God, I'm still saying that. But you're not here by accident. You hear me? You're not here by accident. God has placed you in this place for a reason. And that reason is to serve the kingdom. We are fixing to layer ministries. And I don't even know what I'm talking about. That's all I know. So don't ask me to explain that because I can't explain it to you. All I know is that's the wording that God keeps putting on my heart. Layer these ministries. I thank God for Brother Dale Miller. I wish he was here today. Because God raised him up. God raised this kid up. I talked to him for a year about salvation, and when he finally got saved, he comes to me and he says, why didn't you ever tell me? I'm like, I've been telling you for a year you need to get saved. But in due season, God brought him into the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. This boy's got anointing on his life. Treva, would you come? I'm closing out, and I'm going to ask you to do one more thing for me. Would you stand with me? And if this is you, I want you to come. See if God has poked you today. Last night we were having a prayer service, and the Lord used me in a couple of things to call people out and to prophetically speak over them. God never tells me much. God told me, he said, call Brother David up and pray for him. Tell him this. I said, tell him what? He said, I'll tell you in a minute. You don't think that makes me nervous? Tell me now. I can think of the right way to say it. Then he told me to call somebody else up. He said, I want you to say a couple things to her, but call Mary because Mary's got the word. She moves in the gift of prophecy. These are Presbyterian pastors, and they are not here by coincidence. And he already told you he wasn't here because of my preaching. Which is offensive, brother. Can I just say this? For such a time as this, God has brought Owen into the kingdom, to this house. Because I know what's in his heart. God revealed it to me. I know what's in Mary's heart. God has revealed it to me. And God says, you need this. Going forward, you got to have it. So I'm saying, reach down deep and stir. Come on. I know half of you are sitting there thinking, he's not talking about me. I'm just insignificant. I, There are no insignificant people in the body of Christ. I don't care how quiet you are. You're not going to believe this, but by nature, I would rather be back there doing the soundboard than preaching. I never wanted to be up in front of people. I don't like it. I know I got a big mouth, and God uses that sometimes. But God moves beyond your personality. My brother over here is a quiet nature, but God is calling him to pastor. I'm so excited about that. I'm like, oh God, you're going to shine through on somebody. You know, the worst pastors that I've ever seen are those that are given to gab. Because they wind up putting too much of them in. The best pastors are those that forget about gab and get the mind of the Lord and speak His mind. If you're here today and the Holy Ghost has poked you, I want you to step out of your seat. Come and line up here. I don't have time to pray for each one of you individually. Some of you may know your calling, and some of you just may have felt a stirring inside of you that you know God is doing something for such a time as this. Am I making sense? My boy Eric back there, he's like my son. I love that kid. And I love to hear him lead songs. But never has there been a more proud moment to me than today. Before he led the song, he led the prayer. And I thought, oh dear Jesus, that's what I'm talking about. Come on up, Tyler. Just come on up, buddy. 14 years old. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're not too young. You're not too old. God calls people. He will equip you. Don't think, oh, I haven't got my act together. Neither do I. I've been doing this 11 years. I don't have my act together. It ain't about us. It's about Him. Are you willing to yield? Here's what I'm asking. Will you say yes to the Holy Ghost today? Whatever He's asked you to do, will you just say yes? Count me in. I'm going to stand on the wall and I'm going to declare I'll be faithful in my watch. Say, Pastor, when's your watch end? When you die. So those of you that are older, that are saying I'm just a little too old, oh, get over yourself. We need you. This church needs the grounding. We need the old saints of God to keep moving in those things. Deacons, would you come in? Guys, step forward. Come on, just step forward, close as you can get to me. This is a new couple back here that you guys don't know, probably Jason and Courtney. Prayed for them one time, and I knew. Oh, buddy, God's fixing to get a hold of you because God has placed something in this couple. I don't know what it is, but I know when I lay my hands on people and feel the power of God coming back at me, I'm like, woo! Guys, just come on up, lay your hands on them, and just pray the Holy Ghost stirs. Deacons, just fill in there. Pastors, come on. The rest of you, just extend your hands. Dear Jesus, we come before you today, and I have delivered the word that you have told me to deliver, to be submissive, and that each one of us are called by God, Lord, to do our part. Father, we don't know what this is going to look like, but we're going to live in obedience to the Holy Ghost. I'm not reading a book on leadership. I'm just going to read your book, God. And Lord, your book said, call them up and tell them to stir up the gift that's in them. And I'm telling them right now, let the Holy Ghost create a fire in you. Let the Holy Ghost blow on those embers today. And the calling that you felt years ago may come right back to you, because the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. So Lord, blow on those coals today. Lord, we are expecting a mighty move of God in Henry County and the surrounding counties. And Lord, we're going to stand on the wall and we're going to preach the gospel. And we're going to tell people that no matter who you used to be, there's hope in Jesus. So Father, stir them up. Stir them up. Equip them and then place them exactly, Lord, whether it's in the church or in the community. God, I pray that the power of God would rest upon them as much in the workplace as in the church house. One more line and I'm quitting. It's not my line, it's your line. Will you just tell the Holy Spirit, yes? Come on. You probably need to say it out loud. I say yes, Holy Ghost. Yes. To your will and to your ways. I say yes. God, I'm not sure what you're doing, but I know you're doing. I know you're moving. God, I pray right now that visions, that dreams, inspirations are being formed in their minds and in their spirit right now. Lord, I pray that they would see themselves like they've never seen themselves before. Father, for those pastors and teachers that are up there, I pray, Lord, that they would see themselves in front of a crowd preaching the gospel, preaching the good news. Father, for those prophets that are up here, Lord, I pray that they would see themselves speaking a word. Oh, a word from heaven that will bring life to a dead person. Father, you told Ezekiel, well, can these dry bones live? And he said, only you know. You said, yes, they can. Prophesy to them. Father, we call the fivefold ministry into the kingdom right now, into this church. We call them in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know we're going to make mistakes. Lord, we know we'll falter. But Lord, keep us on the right path, would you? Lead us, guide us, direct us. May we do all things decently and in order in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother Denny, would you come? Hallelujah. Excuse me.
Amen. God is good. God is good. Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. With nothing missing, nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.